It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that as soon as a person surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna takes charge of him and gives him a guarantee of protection from all sinful reactions. He also instructs from within, so that the devotee may very quickly make advancement towards spiritual perfection. This self-surrender is called Atmanivedana. According to different authorities, self is differently defined. Self is sometimes considered to refer to the spirit self or soul, and self is sometimes considered to refer to the mind or to the body. Full self-surrender, therefore, means not only surrendering oneself as spirit soul, but also surrendering one's mind and body to the service of the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a nice song in this connection. While offering himself as a fully surrendered soul, he said, quote, "My mind, my household affairs, my body, whatever is in my possession, my dear Lord, I offer to you for your service. Now you can do with them as you like. You are the supreme possessor of everything. So if you like, you can kill me, or if you like, you can give me protection. All authority belongs to you. I have nothing to claim as my own." Unquote. Sri Yamunacharya, in his prayers to the Lord, has expressed a similar idea in the following words. Quote, "My dear Lord, I may be living within some body as a human being or as a demigod, but whatever mode of life, I do not mind, because these bodies are simply byproducts of the three modes of material nature, and I, who am in possession of these bodies, am surrendering myself unto you." Unquote. In the Hari Bhakti Viveka, there is a statement regarding how one can offer his body in self-surrender. There, the devotee says, quote, "My dear Lord, as a souled animal has no need to think about his maintenance and sustenance, so because I have given up my body and soul unto you, I am no longer concerned with my maintenance and sustenance." Unquote. In other words, one should not bother about his personal or family maintenance or sustenance. If one is actually surrendered in body and soul, he should always remember that his only concern is to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami says that devotional service in friendship and devotional service in self-surrender are two difficult processes. Therefore, such relationships with the Lord can very rarely be seen. Only for the advanced devotees are these two processes easily executed. The purport is that it is very rare to see surrender which is mixed with sincere, ecstatic devotion. One must give himself completely to the will of the Lord. Offering a favorite article. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verse 41, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, quote, "My dear friend, if someone offers me the best thing in his possession, or anything which is very pleasing to him, he will be eternally benefited." Unquote. Performing all endeavors for Krishna. In the Narada Pancharatra, there is a statement of how one can act in all spheres of life for the satisfaction of the Lord. It is stated there that a person who is actually in devotional service must be engaged in all kinds of activities, those prescribed in the revealed scriptures, and also those which are accepted for livelihood. In other words, not only should a devotee engage himself in the prescribed duties of devotional service, which are mentioned in the revealed scriptures, but he should also perform the duties of his practical life in Krishna consciousness. For example, a devotee who has a great establishment or factory may offer the fruits of such a material possession for the service of the Lord. Being a surrendered soul. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, there is the following statement about self-surrender. Quote, "My dear Lord, a person who has surrendered himself unto you, who is in firm conviction that he is yours, and who actually acts in that way by his body, mind, and words, can actually relish transcendental bliss." Unquote. In the Nrsinga Purana, Lord Nrsingadev says, quote, "Anyone who prays unto me and takes shelter from me becomes my ward, and I protect him always from all sorts of calamities." Unquote. Serving trees such as the tulsi. In the Skanda Purana, there is a statement praising the tulsi tree as follows. Quote, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the tulsi tree, which can immediately vanquish volumes of sinful activities. Simply by seeing or touching this tree, one can become relieved from all distresses and diseases. Simply by offering obeisances to and pouring water on the tulsi tree, one can become freed from the fear of being sent to the court of Yamaraj, the king of death, who punishes the sinful. If someone sows a tulsi tree somewhere, certainly he becomes devoted to Lord Krishna. And when the tulsi leaves are offered in devotion at the lotus feet of Krishna, there is the full development of love of Godhead." Unquote. In India, all Hindus, even those not belonging to the Vaishnav group, take special care of the tulsi tree. Even in great cities where it is very difficult to keep a tulsi tree, people are to be found very carefully keeping this plant. They water it and offer obeisances to it, because worship of the tulsi tree is very important in devotional service. In the Skanda Purana, there is another statement about tulsi as follows. Quote, "Tulsi is auspicious in all respects. Simply by seeing, simply by touching, simply by remembering, simply by praying to, simply by bowing before, simply by hearing about, or simply by sowing this tree, there is always auspiciousness. Anyone who comes in touch with the tulsi tree in the above-mentioned ways lives eternally in the Vaikuntha world." Unquote. And now chapter 12. Further aspects of transcendental service. Lokanam hitakaranam tribhuvane manam saranyakaranam nana sasvicharanam. Hearing the revealed scriptures. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, any book that gives enlightenment in the matter of advancing in devotional service is considered to be revealed scripture. Srila Madhvacharya has also defined revealed scriptures as referring to books such as the Ramayana, Mahabharata, Puranas, Upanishads, Vedanta, and any other literature written in pursuance of such revealed scriptures. In the Skanda Purana, there is this statement, quote, "A person who is constantly engaged in reading literature enunciating the cultivation of Vaishnava devotional service is always glorious in human society, and certainly Lord Krishna becomes pleased with him. A person who very carefully keeps such literature at home and offers respectful obeisances to it becomes freed from all sinful reactions and ultimately becomes worshipable by the demigods." Unquote. It is also said to Narada Muni, quote, "My dear Narada, a person who writes Vaishnava literature and keeps such literature at home has Lord Narayan always residing in his house." Unquote. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 13th chapter, verse 15, it is stated, quote, "Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. Any person who has become attached in some way or other to the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam cannot have any taste for reading any other literature." In other words, a person who has relished the transcendental bliss of Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be satisfied with mundane writings. Unquote. Residing in Mathura. In the Varaha Purana, there is a statement praising the residential quarters of Mathura. Lord Varaha tells the men of earth, quote, "Any person who becomes attracted to places other than Mathura will certainly be captivated by the illusory energy." Unquote. In the Brahmanda Purana, it is said that all the results of traveling on all the pilgrimages within the three worlds can be achieved simply by touching the holy land of Mathura. In many shastras or scriptures, it is said that simply by hearing, remembering, glorifying, desiring, seeing, or touching the land of Mathura, one can achieve all desires. Rendering service to devotees. In the Padma Purana, there is a nice statement praising the service of the Vaishnavas or devotees. In that scripture, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, quote, "My dear Parvati, there are different methods of worship, and out of all such methods, the worship of the Supreme Person is considered to be the highest. But even higher than the worship of the Lord is the worship of the Lord's devotees." Unquote. A similar statement is in the third canto, 7th chapter, verse 19 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, "Let me become a sincere servant of the devotees, because by serving them one can achieve unalloyed devotional service unto the lotus feet of the Lord." The service of devotees diminishes all miserable material conditions and develops within one a deep devotional love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unquote. In the Skanda Purana, there is a similar statement. Quote, "Persons whose bodies are marked with tilak, symbolizing the conch shell, wheel, club, and lotus, and who keep the leaves of tulsi on their heads, and whose bodies are always decorated with gopi chandan, even seen once can help the seer be relieved from all sinful activities." Unquote. A similar statement is found in the first canto, 19th chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, "There is no doubt about one's becoming freed from all reactions to sinful activities after visiting a devotee or touching his lotus feet or giving him a sitting place. Even by remembering the activities of such a Vaishnava, one becomes purified along with one's whole family. And what then can be said of rendering direct service to him?" Unquote. In the Adi Purana, there is the following statement by Lord Krishna himself, addressed to Arjuna. Quote, "My dear Partha, one who claims to be my devotee is not so. Only a person who claims to be the devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee." Unquote. No one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. One must approach him through his pure devotees. Therefore, in the system of Vaishnava activities, the first duty is to accept a devotee as spiritual master, and then to render service unto him. Sri Rupa Goswami affirms that all the quotations given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu from different scriptures are accepted by the great acharyas and devotees of the Lord. Serving the Lord according to one's position. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement that one should perform the ceremonies for the Lord according to one's financial position. Everyone should observe the different ceremonies and celebrations of the Lord by all means. Performing devotional service in Kartik. One of the most important of these ceremonial functions is called Urja Vrata. Urja Vrata is observed in the month of Kartik or October-November. Especially in Vrindavan, there is a specific program for temple worship of the Lord in his Damodar form. Damodar refers to Krishna's being bound with rope by his mother Yashoda. It is said that just as Lord Damodar is very dear to his devotees, so the month known as Damodar or Kartik is also very dear to them. The execution of devotional service during Urja Vrata in the month of Kartik is especially recommended to be performed at Mathura. This system is still followed by many devotees. They go to Mathura or Vrindavan and stay there during the month of Kartik specifically to perform devotional services during this period. In the Padma Purana, it is said, quote, "The Lord may offer liberation or material happiness to a devotee, but after some devotional service has been executed, particularly in Mathura during the month of Kartik, the devotees want only to attain pure devotional service unto the Lord." Unquote. The purport is that the Lord does not award devotional service to ordinary persons who are not serious about it. But even such unserious persons who execute devotional service according to the regulative principles during the month of Kartik and within the jurisdiction of Mathura in India are very easily awarded the Lord's personal service. Observing festivals celebrating the Lord's activities. In the Bhavishya Purana, there is a statement about observing different ceremonies celebrating the Lord's appearance or birthday and other transcendental activities. It is said, quote, "My Lord Janardhan, or Krishna, please let us know the date when your mother Devaki Devi gave birth to you. If you kindly inform us about this, then we shall observe a great celebration on this date. O killer of Keshi, we are souls 100% surrendered unto your lotus feet, and we wish only to please you with our ceremonies." Unquote. This statement of the Bhavishya Purana gives evidence that by observing different functions in relationship with the Lord, one is sure to become pleasing to the Lord. Serving the deity with great devotion. It is said in the Adi Purana, quote, "A person who is constantly engaged in chanting the holy name and who feels transcendental pleasure, being engaged in devotional service, is certainly awarded the facilities of devotional service and is never given just mukti or liberation." Unquote. Mukti means liberation from material contamination. When liberated, one does not have to take birth again in the material world. The impersonalists desire to merge into the spiritual existence, to end their individual existence. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, mukti is only the beginning of one's becoming situated in his normal condition. The normal condition of every living entity is to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. From the statement of the Adi Purana, it appears that a devotee is satisfied simply with being engaged in devotional service. He does not aspire for any liberation from material, conditional life. In other words, anyone who is engaged in devotional service is not in the material condition of life, although he may appear so. Recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam among devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam is the desire tree of Vedic wisdom. Veda itself means the aggregate of knowledge. And whatever knowledge is required for human society is perfectly presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. There are different branches of knowledge in the Vedic writings, including sociology, politics, medicine, and military art. All these and other branches of knowledge are perfectly described in the Vedas. So, as far as spiritual knowledge is concerned, that is also perfectly described there. And Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the ripened fruit of this desire-fulfilling tree of the Vedas. A tree is honored by the production of its fruit. For example, a mango tree is considered very valuable because it produces the king of all fruits, the mango. When the mango fruit becomes ripened, it is the greatest gift of that tree. And Srimad Bhagavatam is similarly held to be the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree. And as ripened fruit becomes more relishable when first touched by the beak of a parrot or shuka, Srimad Bhagavatam has become more relishable by being delivered through the transcendental mouth of Shukdeva Goswami. Srimad Bhagavatam should be received in disciplic succession without any breakage. When a ripened fruit comes from the upper part of the tree onto the ground, by the process of being handed down from a higher branch to a lower branch by persons in the tree, the fruit does not break. Srimad Bhagavatam, when received in the parampara system or disciplic succession, will likewise remain unbroken. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that the disciplic succession, or parampara, is the way of receiving transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge must come down through the disciplic succession, through authorized persons who know the real purpose of the Shastra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that one learn Srimad Bhagavatam from the mouth of the self-realized person called Bhagavatam. Bhagavat means, quote, in relationship with the personality of Godhead or Bhagavan, unquote. So the devotee is sometimes called Bhagavatam, and the book which is in relationship with devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also called Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that, in order to relish the real taste of Srimad Bhagavatam, one should take instruction from the person Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is relishable even by a liberated person. Shukdev Goswami admitted that although he was liberated from within the very womb of his mother, it was only after relishing Srimad Bhagavatam that he became a great devotee. Thus, one who is desirous of advancing in Krishna consciousness should relish the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam through the discussions of authorized devotees. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 1st Chapter, verse 9, Shukdev Goswami admits that although he was very much attracted by the impersonal Brahman, when he heard the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the mouth of his father, Vyasadev, he became more attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam. The idea is that Vyasadev was also a self-realized soul, and his mature contribution of transcendental knowledge was delivered directly to Shukdev Goswami in the manner indicated. Associating with advanced devotees. The importance of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in the society of pure devotees was explained by Shonaka Muni during the meeting at Naimisharanya in the presence of Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami confirmed that if someone is fortunate enough to associate with a pure devotee of the Lord, even for a moment, that particular moment is so valuable that even those pious activities which can promote one to the heavenly planets or give liberation from material miseries cannot compare to it. In other words, those who are attached to Srimad Bhagavatam do not care for any kind of benefit derived from elevation to the higher planetary kingdoms or for the liberation which is conceived of by the impersonalists. As such, the association of pure devotees is so transcendentally valuable that no kind of material happiness can compare to it. In the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, there is a conversation between Prahlad Maharaj and his father Hiranyakashipu, in which Hiranyakashipu addresses Prahlad in this way, quote, "My dear son, association is very important. It acts just like a crystal stone which will reflect anything which is put before it." Unquote. Similarly, if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, and if our hearts are crystal clear, then certainly the same action will be there. Another example given in this connection is that if a man is potent and if a woman is not diseased, then by their conjugation there will be conception. In the same way, if the recipient of spiritual knowledge and the deliverer of spiritual knowledge are sincere and bona fide, there will be good results. Chanting the holy name of the Lord. The importance of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is very strongly stressed in the second canto, first chapter, verse 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam in the following way. Shukdev Goswami tells Maharaj Pariksit, quote, "My dear king, if one is spontaneously attached to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is to be understood that he has attained the highest perfectional stage." Unquote. It is specifically mentioned that the karmis who are aspiring after the fruitive results of their activities, the salvationists who are aspiring to become one with the Supreme Person, and the yogis who are aspiring after mystic perfections can achieve the results of all perfectional stages simply by chanting the Maha Mantra. Shukdev uses the word nirnitam, which means, quote, "it has already been decided," unquote. He was a liberated soul and therefore could not accept anything which was not conclusive. So Shukdev Goswami especially stresses that it has already been concluded that one who has come to the stage of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with determination and steadiness must be considered to have already passed the trials of fruitive activities, mental speculation, and mystic yoga. The same thing is confirmed in the Adi Purana by Krishna. While addressing Arjuna, he says, quote, "Anyone who is engaged in chanting my transcendental name must be considered to be always associating with me. And I may tell you frankly that for such a devotee I become easily purchased." Unquote. In the Padma Purana also it is stated, quote, "The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is present only on the lips of a person who has for many births worshipped Vasudeva." Unquote. It is further said in the Padma Purana, quote, "There is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. As such, the holy name is as perfect as the Lord himself in fullness, purity, and eternity. The holy name is not a material sound vibration, nor has it any material contamination." Unquote. The holy name cannot, therefore, be chanted offenselessly by one who has failed to purify his senses. In other words, materialistic senses cannot properly chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But by adopting this chanting process, one is given a chance to actually purify himself so that he may very soon chant offenselessly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that everyone chant the Hare Krishna mantra just to cleanse the dust from the heart. If the dust of the heart is cleansed away, then one can actually understand the importance of the holy name. For persons who are not inclined to clean the dust from their hearts and who want to keep things as they are, it is not possible to derive the transcendental result of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. One should, therefore, be encouraged to develop his service attitude toward the Lord, because this will help him to chant without any offense. And so, under the guidance of a spiritual master, the disciple is trained to render service and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna mantra. As soon as one develops his spontaneous service attitude, he can immediately understand the transcendental nature of the holy names of the Maha Mantra. Living in Mathura. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement about the importance of living at holy places like Mathura or Dwarka. It is stated there, quote, "To travel to different places of pilgrimage means to attain emancipation from material bondage. This emancipation, however, is not the highest perfectional stage. After attaining this liberated stage, one has to become engaged in devotional service to the Lord. After attainment of the Brahma-Bhuta or liberation stage, one can further advance to engagement in devotional service. So, this attainment of transcendental loving devotional service to the Lord is the goal of life, and it can be achieved very easily for one who lives in Mathura Mandala, even for a few seconds." Unquote. It is further said, quote, "Who is that person who will not agree to worship the land of Mathura? Mathura can deliver all the desires and ambitions of the fruitive workers and of the salvationists who desire to become one with the Supreme Brahman. Certainly Mathura will deliver the desires of the devotees who simply aspire to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord." Unquote. In the Vedic literature, it is also stated, quote, "How wonderful it is that simply by residing in Mathura even for one day, one can achieve a transcendental loving attitude toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This land of Mathura must be more glorious than Vaikuntha Dham, the kingdom of God. Unquote. And now chapter 13, five potent forms of devotional service. Rupa Goswami has stated that five kinds of devotional activities, namely residing in Mathura, worshipping the deity of the Lord, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, serving a devotee, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra are so potent that a small attachment for any one of these five items can arouse devotional ecstasy even in a neophyte. Regarding worship of the form of the Lord, or deity, Rupa Goswami has written the following verse, quote, "My dear friend, if you still have any desire to enjoy the company of your friends within this material world, then don't look upon the form of Krishna, who is standing on the bank of Keshi Ghat, a bathing place in Vrindavan. He is known as Govinda, and his eyes are very enchanting. He is playing upon his flute, and on his head there is a peacock feather, and his whole body is illuminated by the moonlight in the sky." Unquote. The purport of this verse is that if someone becomes attached to the Sri Murti, or deity of Krishna, by worshipping at home, then he will forget his relationships of so-called friendship, love, and society. Thus, it is the duty of every householder to install deities of the Lord at home, and to begin the process of worshipping along with all of his family members. This will save everyone from such unwanted activities as going to clubs, cinemas, and dancing parties, and smoking, drinking, etc. All such nonsense will be forgotten if one stresses the worship of the deities at home. Rupa Goswami further writes, quote, "My dear foolish friend, I think that you have already heard some of the auspicious Srimad Bhagavatam, which decries seeking the results of fruitive activities, economic development, and liberation. I think that now it is certain that gradually the verses of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the pastimes of the Lord, will enter your ears and go into your heart." Unquote. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that unless one has the ability to throw out, just like garbage, the fruitive results of ritualistic ceremonies, economic development, and becoming one with the Supreme, or salvation, one cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam deals exclusively with devotional service. Only one who studies Srimad Bhagavatam in the spirit of renunciation can understand the pastimes of the Lord, which are described in the 10th canto. In other words, one should not try to understand the topics of the 10th canto, such as the Ras Lila or love dance, unless he has spontaneous attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam. One must be situated in pure devotional service before he can relish Srimad Bhagavatam as it is. In the above two verses of Rupa Goswami, there are some metaphorical analogies that indirectly condemn the association of materialistic society, friendship, and love. People are generally attracted to society, friendship, and love, and they make elaborate arrangements and strong endeavors to develop these material contaminations. But to see the Sri Murtis of Radha and Krishna is to forget such endeavors for material association. Rupa Goswami composed his verse in such a way that he was seemingly praising the material association of friendship and love and was condemning the audience of Sri Murti or Govinda. This metaphorical analogy is constructed in such a way that things which seem to be praised are condemned, and things which are to be condemned are praised. The actual import of the verse is that one must see the form of Govinda if one at all wants to forget the nonsense of material friendship, love, and society. Srila Rupa Goswami has similarly described the transcendental nature of relishing topics which concern Krishna. A devotee once said, quote, "It is very astonishing that since I have seen this personality of Godhead, who is washed by the tears of my eyes, there is shivering of my body, and he has made me a failure in executing my material duties. Since seeing him, I cannot remain silently at home. I wish to go out to him always." Unquote. The purport of this statement is that as soon as one is fortunate enough to contact a pure devotee, one must be anxious immediately to hear about Krishna, to learn about Krishna, or in other words, to become fully Krishna conscious. Similarly, there is a statement about hearing and chanting the Maha Mantra. Quote, "It is said that saints have been able to hear the vibrating strings of the veena in the hands of Narad, who is always singing the glories of Lord Krishna. Now the same sound vibration has entered my ears, and I am always feeling the presence of the Supreme Personality. Gradually, I am becoming bereft of all attachment for material enjoyment." Unquote. Again, Srila Rupa Goswami has described Mathura Mandala. Quote, "I remember the Lord standing by the banks of the Yamuna River, so beautiful amid the Kadamba trees, where many birds are chirping in the gardens. And these impressions are always giving me transcendental realization of beauty and bliss." Unquote. This feeling about Mathura Mandala and Vrindavan described by Rupa Goswami can actually be felt even by non-devotees. The places in the 84 square mile district of Mathura are so beautifully situated on the banks of the river Yamuna that anyone who goes there will never want to return to this material world. These statements by Rupa Goswami are factually realized descriptions of Mathura and Vrindavan. All these qualities prove that Mathura and Vrindavan are situated transcendentally. Otherwise, there would be no possibility of invoking our transcendental sentiments in these places. Such transcendental feelings are aroused immediately and without fail after one arrives in Mathura or Vrindavan. In these statements about devotional service, sometimes it may appear that the results have been overestimated, but actually there is no overestimation.